Thank you for listening to this podcast from TheUnheardNerd.com. If you like what you hear, please consider liking, sharing, reviewing, and subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast feed of choice, and help us to keep creating and improving our content. Thank you.
TheUnheardNerd.com.
You're listening to the interview podcast from TheUnheardNerd.com. My name is Will. On this show, I speak with Justin Toole, one half of Kudos the Kid, who in fact recorded the theme tune for this podcast. He was in London for a quick vacation with his wife, so we met up, talked a little bit about the projects that are coming up for Kudos the Kid over the next year. Enjoy the show.
Listen up, yeah, it's a word to the nerd, coming through the speakers from the one you never heard. A brand new show you don't want to miss, because you never heard a nerd with a style like this. Nerdcore, hip-hop, 8-bit, pop rock, it's our culture on the rise and it won't stop. Podcast drop, best day of the week, because the unheard nerd is about to speak. The unheard nerd is about to speak. The unheard nerd is about to speak. Time getting lost in these drywall mazes. Now I know every patron on a first name basis. We caught this fever and it feels contagious. When these halls get crowded and no room stays vacant, no rich, no vagrants, no hesitation, we're just here and we're living for the next sensation. Sit back like a fly in the wall, it makes it easier to focus on my own fixation. One part naive, one part narcissistic, we all seem to think youth is meant for mischief. The girls want to swoon and pretend to be lustsick, the boys choose their lovers by the shade of their lipstick. And every word was laced with a kiss, but every kiss was laced with remiss. Another piece will not sure exist. Every time we get close it feels like we missed it.
So I'm here in London.
Yes.
Amazing. With Justin of Kudos the Kid. Now, first question, before you say anything.
Absolutely.
Kudos. How do you...
Kudos the Kid is how we say it, yeah. So, I think the first time we heard it on your podcast, we were like, so either way, it's fine. But just naturally, we say Kudos the Kid.
Kudos the Kid. I'll work on that.
All right, no problem. Either way, it's fine.
But you're in London. You're not playing a show.
No, unfortunately, I spent a little time looking around, and then just the other details of the trip kind of caught away, and it was like, oh, I don't have time now. I did bring like my stuff, which is an iPod, if I had to play it internationally, just in case there was like I stumbled across an open mic night or something. But no book show for this weekend.
And your partner in crime, Robbie.
Yeah.
Not been able to make it.
Yeah, he had to cancel last minute too. He was going to be on the trip. So yeah, a couple of things fell through on that end, but still so far a good trip.
Good. Yeah. And your wife is here. I haven't met her yet.
Yes.
She's probably going to walk in and interview.
Maybe.
And we'll introduce her at that point. Which is fine. So yeah, you're here. You're enjoying London. You've been here a couple of days. And,
yeah.
The travel was fine. And as I arrived, you were on your balcony reading a book.
Yeah. Just hanging out, enjoying the beautiful city. We've been having a lot of fun here in London so far.
Yeah. Well, we're happy to have you here.
Yeah.
You got a new album in the works?
It's gonna sound, I guess, a bit ambitious, but it makes sense in the grand scheme of everything we've done so far, I guess. But we have decided to just do EPs for a while.
Yeah.
But in that, since it's been a while, it's been 2 years since our last full album release, it's actually going to be quite a bit of EPs, probably about 5 EPs we plan to release within the next year and a half.
Yeah.
So we have probably about 80% of the music actually already done,
mm-hmm.
and maybe about 25% of the vocals so far. So,
For all of them?
For all of them.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's...
Are you going to stagger the releases?
Yeah. It'll probably be... The first one we'll probably shoot for... It'll mostly be released in 2017, but probably spring. It'll probably be like a seasonal thing, so maybe spring, summer, fall, and winter, and then maybe spill into 2018 with the last release, so...
Okay. And is there a concept or theme behind this?
Each one will have its own kind of sound, which is kind of why we've gone with the EP idea, I guess. But the five overall won't be specifically connected. Each one will just kind of have its own sound, and we're trying to kind of move in that way as far as writing for the album, because we actually plan to kind of do that with the last album, Casanova Frankenstein. If you listen to it, it's got like kind of almost two polarizing type of sounds, like the darker, grittier type of stuff, like Stock Options and Turn the Stereo Up and stuff like that, and then it's kind of caught more of the like piano driven, like more instrumental, or like I don't know, lighter type of stuff, like First Name Basis and Same Old Song, Job Well Done, those kind of stuff. So we originally were going to do like a, we were going to call it like Dawn Dusk or something like that, where it's like a light and dark type thing. So
it's very, yeah. Was it Smashing Pumpkins?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that kind of idea, but we ended up making that album, and we were happy that we ended up making it an album that way, but now it took a lot out of us. Making an album is tough. I don't know how some of these guys like crank them out. They're like, new album every 6 months. I'm just like, oh my God, yeah. I don't know how. So it's easier for us to kind of just like take five songs and make it like sound a specific way and hopefully be able to crank out music quicker that way, because it has been two albums since we've, or 2 years since we've released an album.
Yeah, well, so, you mentioned Casanova Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And we were talking online, and you posted it was 2 years old.
Yeah.
And we were talking about, you know, I remember specifically, as I posted on the thread, hearing that record for the first time.
Yeah.
You sent it to me, and in fact, it's still on the message that I was scrolling through today. Yeah. The link to, I think, the Dropbox or however you sent it. And I downloaded it just before I went on my holiday 2 years ago to France, and I was going for a run because I'm a keen runner.
Yeah.
And along the beach, and it was a beautiful day. It was, you know, the sea was lapping in. It was early morning, so there was no one around. And I was listening to your album for the first time. So that memory sticks with me.
I love that. I love that you shared that. It's like really puts it in. A couple of people posted. I was like, wow, this is like, man, it actually sticks around or whatever. You know, it's you actually get to see that. Yeah. A little bit of impact, I guess.
And without, you know, trying to flatter you too much, I've told you this before, but if I could sound like any rapper, I'd love to sound like
Thank you.
Your delivery is amazing.
Thank you, I really appreciate it.
And I'm not the only one that thinks that. I was out just 2 days ago, we went to see K-Flay, and I was with Two Button Hero, aka Stuart, who writes for the website as well. And we were talking about, you know, the record, that I was, you know, meeting up with you today. And he was saying that, you know, he's been playing it to someone, you know, to some of his friends, and to people that he knows. And there's been a difference of opinion about the vocal delivery. Some people really don't like it.
Yeah, I know.
And then other people are like, this is amazing.
It is. We've been actually doing this about 4 years, which blew me away once I came around to it. But it is. I get the same thing from home. It is very, like, polarizing. Yeah. But it is, I have been noticing a lot more London pop-ups, like, on, like, Spotify and stuff. It'll tell you where people are listening, so I appreciate the sharing out here and stuff. I'm like, oh, London, I'm in that way.
Yeah, well, I guarantee Stu's listening on Spotify. He's a big advocate of Spotify.
That's cool.
And maybe one day I will tell you. and maybe one day I will tell you.
So the new records, you say, you know, they're each going to be sort of individual, or new EPs, I think.
Yeah.
They're each going to be individual things. Uh-huh. What's the dynamic with the music? Obviously, you're the vocalist. Robbie is producer.
Yeah.
You get other instrumentalists in. What's the dynamic?
He mostly, Robbie actually does, is so much of the group, even though I guess I'm like the face, you know, because I'm the vocalist and do most of the interviews and stuff. But he's the producer, so he makes all of our music, unless there's like a remix or anything like that. There's never been a song that he hasn't produced that we've released on our albums. And he also does vocals. He does the vocals for the chorus of Casanova Frankenstein, Low Tops, which we have a video for on YouTube. Several songs he does that kind of shouty kind of chorus that we do sometimes. Don't Tase Me, Bruh. Mm-hmm. He's on the chorus. And then he helps with writing sometimes too. He most of the time writes his own choruses that he does vocally, and then he'll write melodies. Like he wrote the melody for Job Well Done and the vocals for that we had a friend sing to that. And so he does a lot. He's he carries a lot of weight in the group. And then we have a live band that we play with. Sean is our guitarist, and he also contributes a little bit to. He played guitar on a few tracks, first name basis, I know, and sang the chorus for I'm Useless off Casanova Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. And we have a bassist, David, who plays with us live as well. I don't think he did. I think Robbie programmed all the bass tracks on Casanova Frankenstein. And Robbie plays instruments too. He's our drummer for our live stage, and then he plays piano too, which he does, you know, for the tracks and stuff. So yeah, that's and then me, and then I just do vocals. I don't play anything, I don't program anything, I'm just vocals. So
the band got together for the gaming expo recently.
They pronounce it GAM. Yeah, they pronounce it GAM in Jacksonville, and that's kind of been our release strategy since the album. And that's why I was saying the EP has kind of been, it seems a little ambitious, like five, but it's kind of been a progressive type of thing. The first album that we made, Yonder, was never intended to be what it ended up being. Robbie actually had every single bit of those instrumentals written before we even talked about doing like a hip hop group at all, before it was anything, and then it kind of formed into that. So first album is a lot more electronic based, and it's very obscure sometimes, like the beats, because it was not intended to be a hip hop, or even some of them necessarily have vocals over them. He was writing a lot of like EDM stuff at the time. It's not a very poppy album, or it's just obscure electronic kind of stuff. So it ended up becoming a hip hop album, obviously, and we've always played in bands together though. We grew up since high school being in bands together. I played guitar and stuff, and so we were like, oh, we got it. We have this album now. It's like 10 tracks. We have to perform it or whatever. It's just natural for us. We got to perform out. So, but they're so weird that it was, we still play some of the songs from that album. We probably play in our sets like maybe like three. But we couldn't put a full set together, even with the whole album. So we immediately went into the next album with that in mind. So like, okay, let's make an album that we could actually perform. And oh, it's actually going to be hip hop this time. It's going to have vocals and hooks. So that's why there's like a shift to the second album. But that, like I said, that took so much out of us. And it was polarizing at times. It's got, you know, very different sounds. And we're like, oh, does this really fit together? But we wanted to push an album. So we did that, and then we started performing out, so, you know, that kind of took away from the writing. But since then, we've probably released maybe close to an album worth of music, but it's just like over a two-year span, it's like one song at a time, so one song every 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
And we've partnered up with this group in our town called GAM, which stands for Game Arts and Music, and they host every year. It's a really big deal. And they always have a theme. So, like this year it was fighting game, so we released the fighting game track. And last year it was the Avengers, so we released an Avengers track. So, So that's kind of been feeding into the whole, like, oh, one song at a time type thing as well. So, but we want to get away from that. So we kind of like the projects. It's just an album is so heavy.
Yeah,
it's
just
so much investment. So,
but, I mean, you mentioned that theme this year, you know, the fighting game.
Yeah.
And you've teamed up with a lot of other local artists.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, how does that come about? Is that something that the event organizers suggest, or is that just something you... You were given a task and you knew these guys and brought them in? Or?
Yeah, well, I knew them because we had played the year before. So this is our second year. So as soon as they announced the theme for this year, like, it's just like, because specifically it was like fighting games versus was the theme. But they were like, we really want to focus on Mortal Kombat, Killer Instinct, Street Fighter, and Tekken or whatever. So immediately I was like, that makes a perfect, like, almost like battle rap theme type track or whatever. So I reached out to them since I performed, and they loved the idea. So I was like, well, if we're going to perform it live, I really need to get local guys to do it. So I was really excited that I found three local guys that all loved the games that they represented and were great rappers and wanted to be part of like a nerdy event. I was like, oh, score. And so I was really happy with how this turned out. And we put a lot of work into that one too, just organizing everything. But it was my first time working with each one of the other three artists, Willie Evans Jr., Arson Fist, and Tunk from Jacksonville. And they each did an amazing job, and they all came through, performed amazing at the show. So it was a really good time, fun project. So that within itself even is a huge investment. Like, one song, we were working on that from like May or something all the way to the show in August. So it's just like, oh, music, so... such an investment, but we love it.
Debut 92, changing everything. They knew the new kings of combat. Got them color coded yellow and blue. We bring the carnage when the realm go to war. The only game to quench your thirst, pull the blood and the gore. We came to fight, test your might. Ain't no room for the weak. Gotta get them over here with that backpack beat. Yeah, I block the uppercut because I study them closely. Been known to spit fire, so I'm leaving them. Climbing up the towers, I'm defeating all the bosses. Never even touch me, so my victory is flawless. Living in the future is just a part of your reality. A look of desperation when you're facing my fatality. I let them know I'm only in it for the win. So I'm showing no mercy when the time comes to finish. And it's Mortal Kombat, gotta spell it with the K. So before you even speak, put some respect on my name. Step up, let the battle begin. If you're gonna fight, you better fight to win. You get knocked down, better get up again. If you're gonna fight, you better fight to win. Step up, let the battle begin. If you're gonna fight, you better fight to win. You get knocked down, better get up again. If you're gonna fight, you better fight to win.
Street Fighter 2 tournaments with Mega Ran and DN3, and everybody's beating me with DFHP. Now the rumor is correct in saying Tekken took Akuma, so this cross-platform is coolie whether it's 3D or 2D.
You are involved in a nerdy scene. You are obviously in the nerdcore community online.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't necessarily... Your music doesn't jump out as instantly recognisable as being nerdy.
Yeah.
Is that a conscious thing, or is it just that's the way it happens?
It's kind of... That's the way it happens. We are ourselves very nerdy people. We run our own specifically horror podcast. Like, we love horror films. I love video games, comic books and stuff. So we ourselves are just very nerdy people. So we just... You know, sometimes we have some nerd songs, like specifically the fighting game one that came out, and we did an Avengers track, and I feel comfortable writing them because as long as it's something I know or, you know, it's part of my life, then I have no problem writing about it. But of course, it doesn't dictate our music. Some people have said like nerdcore adjacent.
Right, yeah. That's a term, isn't it?
Which is ridiculous in itself. But yeah, because, you know, there are, you know, I guess it's become more common in hip hop now anyways to have the punchlines or the references to nerdy things anyways, but I guess we've been doing that for a little while now, so that's always just kind of been part of it. So I guess
how did you come across the nerdcore thing, because it's quite niche, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I honestly never really like knew a lot of nerdcore groups until I got into the scene, honestly. So it wasn't like a group led me to the scene. There was a forum, I can't remember, nerdcore.com, or do you remember what it was called?
There was Rhyme Torrents.
Yeah, it was what came out of that. Nerdcore Now, yep. And somehow I found myself on there right after our album release, our first album release. And immediately picked up on a couple artists like Lex Lingo, who I really enjoyed. Like, Lex Lingo was on there, was very vocal, and it kind of hooked me. I was like, oh wow, like this is like some good stuff. Maybe I'll stick around just this community for anything. And he was one of the first features that we got for the second album. And then through that, so I probably like more like underground nerdcore, which I mean, the scene itself, but not yet. Exactly, yeah. Because honestly, like Lex Lingo is probably the one I have the most of like his music, you know, all his like old school stuff, and I, you know, have it all downloaded. I really, and Cloth and Pop and stuff, who has also been featured in our music. So those guys really kept me around, great guys and stuff. So that was kind of my introduction to it. And since then, have moved up to some of the bigger artists, I guess. So I mentioned I'm going to see Lars and Mega Rands and Chris in Jacksonville next month. So that'll be exciting. But yeah, it's not really how I came around to it. So.
Yeah, my introduction was via, of all places, NME, the New Musical Express, NME, via their forums.
Yeah.
I started as a troll on there.
Yeah.
I had a job that didn't really, didn't take much of my attention.
Yeah.
I used to spend hours a day trolling the NME. I think it's like, 15,000 posts in a year.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, wow.
But there was a guy on there, just like, he was really into MC Chris, and he put up there was a website called 8-Track, and you can just literally upload 8 tracks.
Yeah.
And it was a playlist, and you share it. And he shared this Nerdcore one, and it had Kaburo on it, and Frontal on it.
Yeah.
And that's one mix was enough to get me, like, where do I find this stuff?
Yeah.
And this is a guy I'd known about online for some time.
Yeah.
I don't know, again, if you're familiar with Kerrang. The magazine. Here's a metal magazine.
Yeah.
So we were on the Kerrang forums first.
Okay.
Moved to the NME forums just to, the NME one really was a troll.
Yeah.
he introduced me to it. And about a week after, he was like, I hate this. It's terrible.
Oh, no.
And for some reason, it stuck with me.
No good deal, yeah. I've
been with it ever since.
That's great.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's a nice community. And there are opportunities to, to play with other artists.
Yeah.
Orlando Nerd Fest, have you been, or do you plan to go?
Yeah, I wasn't able to make it, but like through that though, like I know like Alpha Riff was there with his group, the they do the Borderlands EP with DJ Robo Rob. RPG Unit, and like even through that, like the only features I've really ever been on are like nerdcore artists now. Like I was featured on Alpha Riff's new album and stuff like that, so I haven't been able there, but. My wife's family lives in Texas, and now Crayon Boys are out there, and now Lex Lingo is out there, and there's like a lot of people in Texas, so I'm hoping to get a lot more shows going out there with them since we visit family often anyway. So,
yeah.
But all my features I think so far have been nerdy artists anyway. So it is like a great core group, nice people, and they always, offer good tips and reviews on music and stuff like that. So it's and like I said, we like this stuff anyway, so just in life. So it's kind of fun to drop a nerdcore track every now and then. Actually, one of the EPs will be like a collection of like our nerdy stuff specifically.
Yeah.
So since we've never really been like nerdcore, like, album or whatever. So we will have like an EP, and actually that'll probably be one of the longer ones since we have already a collection of some nerdy songs. We did like a Game of Thrones kind of theme song this year too, a Red Woman that Lex Lingo remixed as well, and along with the Versus track and stuff like that.
I presume you're familiar with Supervillains.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of what they do. Every album is different,
yeah,
and sounds different, and you can recognize them because their vocal styles are very unique.
Yeah,
Remy-san, he's amazing. He's so fast, and he's got his own distinct style.
Yeah,
and the two shouldn't really go well together.
Yeah, they do.
And for a long time, I didn't think it did, but I really came round to them. I hated their early stuff. I got really into them, But they kind of, every album that they, and they did a lot in a short space of time. Now they've done nothing for a long time.
Yeah.
But it was, there would be one that's super nerdy and then one that's not so much. And, I mean, it keeps you interested.
Yeah.
I mean, probably the same as an artist as well.
Exactly.
Doing something new rather than trying to replicate what you've done before.
Yeah.
How important then is to kudos the kid, if I'm saying it right?
No,
I'll have to listen back and practice. is performing compared to recording?
I don't know now, honestly. It goes back and forth.
Mm.
Like, as we're, the way we are, we've always just been musicians, so we're always, and just artists in general, we, in college, did a book together, me and Robbie. Like I said, we've been in bands together. We do like a podcast. So we're always creating. So the need to always make new music is always there. But then, you know, you kind of, it weighs a lot on you, especially just from writing, like just your own judgment. Like, and then especially if you have to stick to a theme, that's why even the nerdy release won't be something like sometimes, like I know Beefy like has a Netflix, you know, EP, like ours will just be like a collection of nerdy things. Like I can only focus my attention on one song for one subject. So, but then, you know, so it goes back and forth, and when we, then we have a real need to play as well too, but we do very few shows. We've only played like, actually, we just played 3 shows, and it was the first time we had played in a year.
Mm.
So we all got back together. I was surprised at how well everything came back together. But so I think we've only been playing for 2 years. Once our second album released, we were able to start performing, and we probably played like less than 20 shows in 2 years. So we don't play a whole lot, but we haven't released a whole lot of new music either. So we're jumping back into both.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Your recording process, jumping about a bit with the topics, I get the feeling, just from conversations with you online, well, let me rephrase that. A lot of nerds embrace technology, and you'll find collaborations happening from all different places all over the world, the producers making the music, they're recording it. For me, it feels like, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but you two actually get into the same room.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Robbie is producing stuff, obviously making music and coming up with ideas, but when you record, you're together.
Yeah, we are together. Yep, I always record in his studio. I've never, bought my own equipment. He lives fairly close to me, within a half hour, so, and we spend a lot of time together anyways, but we always do record, and so it's nice to have that counterpoint. You gotta have like a no guy, like a no man, like, and we do that with each other, because he does write all the beats, but every now and then I'll be like, oh, we should probably do something, like, you know, I'll kind of nitpick it a little bit, and he'll do the same with me. I'll be like, dude, does this like sound shitty, or does this line suck? And he'll I know, since we've known each other so long, he'll be completely honest with me, and that's really helpful. It's really helpful to do that, and I always record in the studio, because we do the takes. And he'll let me know, like, I'll be like, was that a good one? I'm more actually just like, oh, is that a good take? Or should we cut there? Or something like that. And he's always like, ah, it's fine or whatever. But he's, it's nice to have that counterpoint person. That person that'll be honest with you. So that's kind of why it's, kind of worked out for us too, why it's just kept going. It's funny because we, like I said, we never intended this to be a hip hop project like this. That was never the thought with the first album, and we've been in bands together.
Well, what
forever.
Style of music?
The band before Acoustic Kid actually played guitar, so it wasn't like a vocal thing, and that was kind of like Arctic Monkeys, Block Party, kind of indie rock type thing. And then before that, we were in a band where I played guitar. He played drums, and it was like kind of like Coldplay-esque, like the lead vocalist played piano too. And in high school, we were in kind of like a metal band together. It's just kind of been all over the place. We've known each other for so long. So
it sounds like quite an English influence.
British
influence.
Yeah, especially in college, for sure. Once I turned 18, huge into like Arctic Monkeys and Block Party and like the Kooks and just all kind. I made a playlist for this London trip. I was like, everything from college I got to put in here. Because it was mostly British influence from college. And some of it has kind of that, I guess, a little bit of hip-hop influence. Kind of those, like, choppy, repetitive riffs that are almost kind of like beats in a way. Instead of just standard chord progressions. So that itself has an influence, because we played in that band for probably about a year and a half to 2 years, and writing just those types of guitar licks, you know, kind of having those beats, and I would contribute to writing the lyrics as well. So that had a little bit of it, but we kind of just stumbled into it, honestly. It just kind of happened. So yeah. It's crazy that the most successful project we've had so far and continued on with for 4 years, it was a hip hop album. We always kind of joke about that, like how that's like what has stuck with us, but it works, so we keep going.
I think you can hear in the music and the albums that, I mean, specifically, you know, Casanova Frankenstein, that there is an influence of other types of music.
Yeah.
It's not a traditional hip hop album. Mm-hmm. You can hear that. I was interested, though, what made you choose the Gorillaz song to cover?
I don't know. That was, that's one of my earliest, probably, hip-hop influences. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I remember I was probably about 10 or 11 when that song came on, and I remember playing it, like, it would come on MTV2, which at the time was all just music videos at the time. So it was even when MTV was kind of moving away from music, but MTV2 had music videos all the time. That animated video came on, and I would just wait for that song to come on, and I learned lyrics and got the album. And so I don't know, that's one of my, I didn't really grow up with a lot of hip hop influences. More of it would, I guess, come from more rock, like Rage Against the Machine or like 311, stuff like that. So that was probably my first, like, you know, hip hop influence that I just like fell in love with, like I had to have. So it actually spawned too from the, at the time, Nerdcore, now BBC too, because they had a challenge like, hey, make a, like, cover a song or kind of like do with, you know, something like that. And so that's, it kind of came out of that. And we're like, hey, that turned out pretty good. We should include it on the album.
Yeah.
So we kind of had that song ready to go already, so it kind of worked out that way. Oh, there she is.
Hello.
Hey, I didn't want to interrupt.
No, okay. Come in, hello.
Hey,
nice
I'm
to
Amy.
Meet you.
I'm
well.
Nice to meet you.
How are you doing? How are you enjoying London?
Oh my gosh, I love it.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Do you want to swap? I'll go back.
Yeah, that sounds good. Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
No, we love it.
Kudos getting savage like them ghouls up in the attic. So we soaked up in the fabric. Now we working to unravel it. Thought to be inadequate, but brasher than you know. Cause now with lingo on the track, it's like the speakers won't stop rattling. Madder than a hatter dropping acid with a rabbit. And darker than the demons who embody all my habits. Classical fanatic seeking solace in the havoc. We're the status quo assassins, so ecstatic when we ravage it. Heard them say that we had enough. Two more dreams, gonna call the bluff. Time to make a date with a solo cup. Cause you ain't no fun when you sober up. Laughing at half of them, make them grovel and grab at the crumbs. Plunder and pillage, and you can have all the scraps when I'm done. God, I need it, gotta beat it. Confidence is be conceded. When competition's heated, this is how we always beat it. Tighten up on that loose grip. Banging out with them new hits. Not so proud when it all goes down. They call you out on that bullshit.
Yeah. I was gonna say, since you're in London.
Yeah.
And you're quite nerdy.
Yeah.
Have you got any nerdy things lined up to see and do?
Not particularly, but I am. We have a list of questions just for you.
That's an
Abby. Yeah.
My sister was telling me about a place you might enjoy,
though.
It's Forbidden Planet.
Forbidden Planet. The shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She said it's got some stuff that we might.
Oh, it's incredibly. It's a massive comic shop.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. It's on 2-3 floors. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You should definitely check it out.
Yeah, it's on the list.
Definitely. So, okay, Forbidden Planet.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Hunting for Mr. Mime.
Of course, the Pokemon,
Pokemon Go, for sure.
But I suppose we should explain for the listeners who don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
There are specific Pokemon on Pokemon Go, specific to
regions.
Different regions.
Yeah.
And Mr. Mime is the European and, I guess, British one. And I was in Toronto last week and I caught the Taurus.
The Taurus,
So, very happy that we're about that. Great. Well, I mean, enjoy London.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we look forward to hearing the new EPs as and when they appear.
Yeah.
And until next time.
Okay. Thank you.
In a high rise with the lights out, in a suit and tie where we hide out. I don't know you, but I want to. Got a beautiful face I can lie to. Out in a suit and tie where we hide out. night with the lights out. Too bold, catch a cold from the new crowd. Moving thing when they change to a poop sound. Get weightless, double knot laces. Silhouette seen but oblivious to faces. Won't change for the sake of the phase that they pull from the grave, so we push to embrace this. Gotta mimic every move, every step of this shapeshift test. We exhale the compressed facade is the vogue and we dress to impress. Never give a little more, always give a little less. I caught this mood in a third eye view. I pick you out in a packed out room. Do forward to say, but it's safe to assume that we felt this heat with the sparks and bloom. In a high rise with the lights out, in a suit and tie where we hide out. I don't know you, but I want to. Got a beautiful face I can lie to. Navigate through the maze and the haze of the smoke. This toxin is making me float, and I love how it burns in the back of my throat. Stand by, it's about that time when we lose our wits, when we take that dive. It's a foolproof sign when I loosen my tie. A brand new state when this place unwinds. No need for this ballroom brawl with a pool cue swinging up and down the hall. The cool kids boast up against the wall. They wanna find true love in a bathroom stall. No reason to bum about. I see the mayhem's over, I'm sober now. So we go back home with the top down. Everything looks better in the night with the lights out.
Unheardnerd.com.